Hello and welcome to the Prodigy podcast. We are back for the new year for episode number 18. So I'm sitting down with Tom Wilson, who is the emergency services chairperson. Have I got the title right, Tom?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, that's for the UK BJA. As yeah. I say, I'm their overall chair for the Emergency Services Council, which is just one of the councils which they run.
And you've come on today mainly to talk about police BJJ. So tell me a little about it.
Right. Okay. So, well, so recently we've been in a very good position where we've actually been able to set up a national police Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Association called Team Police BJJ. Now, this is the very first police Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Association in the UK. It's something which, I've been involved in the police for 18 years now, and I've always been trying to push this and trying to see what already exists, what could exist, what we can do. It's taken quite some time to get to the stage where we are. But now we've identified all the people we need to speak to. We've worked with all the partners we need to work with, and we're in a position now where we've created our own Police Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Association, and we are now representing every police officer, every police region, every police force in the UK, so we can all work together and try and bring the benefits of BJJ to every officer out there.
So, you spent how many years did you say in the police?
Yeah, so I've been doing 18 years so far in the police. I've been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu just over 20, so they've been pretty much working side by side.
And kind of in terms of the amount before kind of setting up this organization, how many people kind of were you aware of that would kind of practicing BJJ as police officers or police staff?
Proxy Association, I mean, there were certainly, a few sporadic clubs or groups, within various forces around the UK. I know a lot of people have done, as much as they could, within individual forces, trying to get things up and running. But what we've done in the last year, is basically create a situation where we can all work together, communicate with each other, and we're working directly with the UK BJA to make sure that everything we do is at the highest possible standards. So now, numbers-wise, In the force which I represent, we've got nearly 400 officers involved. And if you look at this, say there's 50 plus forces across the UK, you can see the numbers which we could be looking at could be quite substantial.
I mean, we see kind of the massive ambition and group that the armed forces charities have got, and just how much they've been able to do by kind of bringing everyone together as a collective. Using jiu-jitsu to bring everyone together and to train together, and that side of it.
Yeah, so what the armed forces have done already is fantastic. You've got reorg is obviously the I think the go-to example at the moment. That's run by their lead Sam Sheriff, and we already have been working with Sam very closely. And so we're hoping to do quite a lot together in the future. The British Army team, again, that's run by Seamus Kelly, and he's been very influential in creating some of the first inter-services competitions. So I went to their first one of those back in 2019. And across the other services and armed forces, there's already a very good example. Their template is very effective. The issue is with the police, though, it's an entirely different organisation with its entirely different set of rules, policies, procedures. So trying to slide neatly from any armed forces into the police, it's not as smooth as we would think, or as my experience has proven, that easy to do.
So interesting that kind of your BJJ journey and your time in the police almost aligned exactly the kind of same time of experience that you've had with either. How have you found the time you've progressed as someone who trains BJJ and moving up the ranks and gaining more and more experience alongside your own police career?
Well, it's obviously you've had to balance it, and you've had to make decisions as to where you're going to focus your energies. Police work being what it is, shift work, very challenging in its nature. Often, things can happen that, at the last minute, if you're intending to go somewhere, do something, you suddenly be called up to do a sort of particular job. So it certainly limits what you're able to do, and it does mean that you have to, to achieve well within a presenting jiu-jitsu world or any other sort of sport, you've got to make the decision, this is what I'm going to put my time in. So I've had to be very brutal with with my time off. Often when I was first starting, I'd finish late shifts and I'd be training with people at 2 and 3 in the morning. I've used all my annual leave just to go training or go to competitions. I mean, I don't think I went on holiday until about 10 years into being a police officer. So, every bit of spare time I had or that was available was put to, getting to training where I could and when I could. And again, if you look back to that time, there wasn't that much training opportunity available. It's certainly, certainly flourished in the last 10 years or so, but in the late 90s and the first decade of this millennium, it was you had to rummage around or make a quite a considerable effort to find quite a range of places to train at.
And I guess that in terms of the ambitions of Team Police BJJ, being able to support those people who do want to compete and quite like train quite a lot, and just building an understanding in people's kind of management and their sergeants and things like that, so that these athletes are supported in a way or have a bit of understanding. So when they do need to travel and things like that, it's a bit easier for them, or they kind of have a group behind them, if you will.
Well, those are certainly some of the aims we're looking at. I mean, it's a matter of communication within the minds of all the people involved, and for a lot of that does include our own organisation. That does include the police, making our people aware that this team exists, making them aware of what it is, and doing what we can to encourage officers to have the time and the facilities to train. So I mean, we have a committee which involves a group of us who are geographically representative of the UK. We're very quite a varied ranks within the police from quite low to quite high, and we communicate with every single force out there, and we also work directly with Police Sport UK, which is the National Police Sports Association, and they are the ones that have enabled us to move to this stage. They've thrown their support behind what we've done in conjunction with the support that's been given to us by the UK BJA.
And I guess that's quite a significant thing for the sport organisation, for the police themselves, to now bring you into that fold, if you will.
Very much so. I mean, for the Police Sport UK, it's I mean, they've been around since the 19th century. That they are the most prominent sports association out there, certainly in the UK. And for them, it's I know that they've recently been putting out their own sort of podcast, and they are really doing what they can to try and reinvigorate police involvement in sports, because it's certainly since I've started, the emphasis and the focus on sports has somewhat dropped a little bit. It's not been something that's been particularly pushed. There's not been a particular great representation out there for it. And I think one of the things which they're very keen to do is to breathe new life in with new, fresh sports. And Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is an exact example of that. It's something that's new. It's something that's got a great appeal, and it's got it involves working with a lot of very high-profile people who can bring a lot of positivity, both to police, to the sport, and to the community in general.
And it's quite interesting, actually, when you think about Brazilian jiu-jitsu in terms of the timings and the structure of like physically getting yourself to lessons, it does lend itself. You'll kind of look at I mean, take any gym in the UK, and you find that you'll have the shift workers who might do the morning sessions or the afternoon sessions instead of the maybe standard Monday to Friday, Monday to Sunday evening session.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and that's something which we're trying to address. We're certainly trying to provide our own classes, our own sessions, our own instructors, our own venues where we can offer training sessions bespokely to police officers that work with with their commitments, doing shift work. As I say, if you're doing earlies, lates and nights, you might not necessarily always suit being able to get to the standard evening classes, the 7 to 8, 8 to 9s. That may not work. I know I certainly struggled with that when I was just starting up. It's you did have to create time in order to get your training sessions in. But again, we are looking to make those openings to suit what we're doing, and again, we're also looking to just find partners in the civilian BJJ world that will help us out with that as well.
And in terms of talking about the benefits of both sport for the police and specifically kind of BJJ, I guess there's so many different angles you can take. Let's kind of talk about the first one, which is mental health. Especially the nature of the work and the impact it can have on people's lives. How much benefit can BJJ help people?
Well, it's phenomenal. From a personal perspective, it's something which certainly helps me. It's a great release. It's a great calmer. You're a jiu-jitsu player yourself. I'm sure. After you've when you maybe go into a training session, you carry all the worries of the world, your day into it. And by the time you leave, how good do you feel?
Yeah, exactly.
As I say, you walk out of that session and you may be a little bit sore from having a good roll around with somebody, but mentally, your mind is clear. And that's what Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu achieves. It's there's so much to be said about it, in terms of the positive benefits which it has. As I say, it's something which it just enables people to not only improve your physical fitness, but the mental and the social side of it. The mental side where you have to problem solve and find a way to get yourself out of a tricky situation, where you have to just drill and repeat, and the only way you can do this is by working with your partners, with your teammates. It just brings people, it brings people out of difficult situations which they may be experiencing in their lives. And with police, the job itself is a very high exposure rate to instances of trauma. There are a lot of reports and studies that have gone into it. But if you imagine that the average person in the street might encounter 2 or 3 traumatic experiences where they encounter death or a very near approach to death, maybe just that they may see a friend or relative's dead body at a funeral or something like this. But the instances which an average police officer will accumulate in their career will be several hundred, and the impact on that on the person's mental health can't be underestimated. It does slowly trickle through. It does. You slowly get to that stage where it just becomes too much, and something gives, and you don't know what it is that's given. And that's where it becomes even more confusing. And this is when you need something, some means, to get yourself back on a level playing field, be able to sort of re-engage with your peers, your colleagues, and society in general.
I think there's something really positive as well about having a place you can go to where you feel like there are small increments of growth and small wins, if you will. That's not just applicable to people who are in the police and doing BJJ, but to everyone. And the idea that you are, there is something positive, even if you've had I was about to say my language, but it's my own podcast. Even if you've had a shit day, you can still have some success, or there's can be something good that's come out of the day in terms of just going there. You work out how to do an armbar, you manage to tap someone you've always wanted to tap, irregardless. But just that kind of endorphin rush and just having somewhere where things are feeling positive and feeling like they're moving forward can be really good.
Well, definitely. What you're talking about there, it's those little wins where you've struggled before. You've been in a situation where you've been trying to get that armbar and you've not been able to get it. You've not been able to get it. And then one day you go in and it works. That's that sort of repeated replaying of the situation is something which is actually a complementary therapy tool. That's something which is called reframing. So if you go into that situation where you just keep on trying to get the arm bar and you keep trying the same sex circumstances, and eventually you tweak, and you're able to make it that little bit better to the point where it works, you can apply exactly the same principle to the issues which you've experienced in real life. So if you've been involved in a fight and somebody's attacked you, and you are stuck with a mental image of you being on the floor being beaten up. In Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, the applications are so clear that you'll be able to replay that image. You'll be able to control it because your partner will work with you, and you'll be able to find a better way out of it. You'll find a way to get out of that safely and either make your way out or end up in a more dominant position. And that sense of achievement of overcoming the endless replaying in your mind of being in a bad situation, that is how you move forward mentally from some sort of traumatic experience which has stuck with you.
And I guess before we kind of move on to the practical applications of all this, something else that when I was thinking about how it would be from that perspective of training as a member of the police, from a team aspect as well, we've talked a little about kind of the individual mental health benefits and things like that, but as a member of, you kind of work with your team, you're working very closely on a shift to shift basis. When people think of things like the army, the police, and these kind of high pressure environments and the bonds you build with the people around you, having a place where you can relax, if you will, depending on how hard your lesson has been, but having a place where collectively outside of work you can come together as a group is so valuable.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, that idea of bonding, is absolutely key. In order for your team to work well together, you have to be able to get to know each other, iron out any differences, and find a way to move forward. So, you can't really iron out your differences any better than on the mat, can you? It's ideal for that. And the big thing about why use Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, why not use other sports, other activities? It's the only sport where two people can fully engage in a combat sport environment, and they'll both walk away in one piece. So, I mean, I was just last year I'd had a meeting with name dropping here, but with Hodja Gracie, and we're just trying to organise something for the police, and we're saying exactly that. It's there's no other sport where if two boxers decide to get involved and do a bit of hard sparring, they're both going to walk away pretty battered up. Same applies with MMA or judo or wrestling. It's if you go really hard, there's a lot of risks to the injuries which you're going to incur. With Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, once you've got that person to the floor, which is a relatively quick procedure, it's not something where we spend the entire session standing. Most of the work is done on the floor. The emphasis on the groundwork by two people staying in close contact with each other, but with at the same time looking out for each other. There's always the moderator of making sure your partner's safe, looking after your partner. Two guys can, or two girls or whoever can work together, working to improve their own game, working to improve their partner's game, and they both walk away in one piece. And the fact that we can do this as a team, we can keep just into jumping with different people, different body sizes, different shapes. Everybody is getting to know each other, everybody's getting to trust each other, and then everybody's realizing, yep, we all understand what we're all about. We're all working towards the same aim of mutual development and improvement, and that is why Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a great way of building a team.
The idea as well that you are training with people who kind of we for civilians who are training BJJ, they're not likely then outside of the mat to be in situations where two people, not just one, but two people may be using BJJ in a kind of live situation. But actually, training with the people that then you may have to apply this stuff in real life with, I'm sure. Because right, well, this person has this much experience. I know, I understand how good their BJJ is. I know that's quite a simplified version of it, but what their relative skill levels are can be of benefit as well.
It is a benefit, but it's more benefit for the non actual hands-on element of the game. Anybody who's put in a lot of time and effort into training in jiu-jitsu, the mental side of their character, that they understand when they need to apply pressure, when they need to let off, when they need to avoid the situation in the first place. If you can read that in the people you're working with, you understand that there's a very low risk of a situation ever needing to escalate to the point where you'll need to get physical. You can rely on those people you're working with. Their absolute aim will be not to get involved into a physical situation. Their main aim will be to keep this absolutely calm, as keep a situation totally non-physical, so that they can work with whoever it is that they have to deal with, whoever's in front of them at the time. It tends to be the people who don't involve themselves in this real life application that we do on the mat. They're the ones that tend to get a little bit more lively and a bit more likely to jump onto somebody or start doing things which, once you're going down that road, you have to commit to it. But people who have got that experience of knowing what a physical confrontation is about and all the variables involved, they're the ones that you know that they will do everything they can to avoid the escalation into a physical situation. They'll do everything they can to work as a team to make sure that everybody walks away with not a hand laid on anyone.
And I guess we talk about, when we talk about jiu-jitsu in this day and age, a lot of people kind of immediately, well, for people who are jiu-jitsu practitioners, may automatically think BJJ competition, sport jiu-jitsu. But actually, from the that kind of classic self-defense jiu-jitsu perspective, and the lessons learned from that, things like keeping your distance, kind of understanding the space around you, these things are lessons that, unless learned, you just might not be as aware of.
Well, no, it's what are you doing, at your jiu-jitsu session? You are learning things which will keep you safe. If you do your research into what presented jiu-jitsu is and where it's come from, its origins come back to feudal Japan, where it was designed for a person, an unarmed person to deal with somebody who was armed trying to attack them. And, the principal takeaway, which I think they understood, was that somebody standing is a threat to you. Somebody on the floor, unless they've trained in the grappling art, doesn't know how to attack or defend. So if you put somebody on their back and you know how to control them on the back on the ground, then the chances of them being a risk to themselves or to you are that's the key takeaway, putting somebody on the ground in a safe and controlled manner. The other issues you make reference to, they're just creating distance and just managing the situation, general situational awareness. Those are all issues which will crop up in your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu training, just in terms of how you make the technique X, Y, and Z work. You'll need to manage this distance, either get far away, get in close, and these are all areas which will have immediately applicable benefits to you both on the mat, in competition and elsewhere should you need it.
So I think the best way to, well, from my perspective anyway, to kind of move on to these kind of practical applications is to go from your own experience, given that, like you mentioned before, your BJJ career and police career almost aligned. How has learning jiu-jitsu and having that, I won't say safety net, but the experience of jiu-jitsu behind you as someone who's then worked in the police, how has that changed how you've, obviously we know how it's changed situations for you in terms of how you've approached them maybe, but is there any kind of examples that you would give to just how beneficial jiu-jitsu has been to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't go into too many details about individual examples, but I mean, there are, I can think of off the top of my head, at least 6-7 situations where, had I not known what I know, I wouldn't be here talking to you today. I can think of a situation where a number of times where people have tried to stab me, and my go-to knowledge and the fact that I was an active competitor with a, you know, just a split second reaction, you know, that has kept me alive. I've been driven down the road on top of a car, and but you know, been thrown off a car, and only because I know how to brake ball well, have I literally got myself off and dusted myself off. Had I not known how to land, I could have been in a quite a bad situation. But the fact that you physically know what you do, you know what you're doing in terms of how to respond to an aggressive situation. Those years, those relentless hours of practice, they all kick in, and it's true. Time does slow down. I remember one incident where a guy was actually trying to stab me, and I literally, everything slowed down, and it was like it was very similar, just to drilling a particular competition move which I'd been practicing for a long time. It was just a little trip to the floor. Once the gentleman was on the floor, it was relatively easy to, disarm, control, and make sure everything proceeded so safely from there. And that was just due to relentless hours of practice and exposure to that sort of environment.
And, I mean, something as simple as a trip or a sweep can completely change a situation. Like you say, because when, someone is kind of grounded, then you're essentially, I almost went into into the sea or whatever the kind of the analogy is, but you're into an area where you are, it is far easier for you to kind of take control of the situation, and understanding and learning that trip can be kind of a game changer.
This is it. As I say, if you can find, with your own jiu-jitsu, and I mean, because jiu-jitsu doesn't focus absolutely, on this, on the stand-up side of things. Certainly not on the strikes. It does. You should be drilling your strike defenses, but you probably, unless you're doing combat jiu-jitsu or combining with MMA or anything else, you're probably not necessarily doing that much striking, and you may well not be doing that much takedowns or that many throws either. But at the same time, a certain amount of awareness and just picking up two or three which you quite like or which work for you, that is absolutely integral. And like I said, when it comes down to it, the practical applications are what was recognized by people 500-600 years ago in Japanese jiu-jitsu. You put somebody on their back, they've gone from being an incredibly effective stand-up person in front of you trying to hurt you to suddenly having never been on their back before. I mean, you go back to the original UFC, so and you saw people, all very experienced stand-up fighters, and Hoist Gracie comes in, puts them all on their back, and they were just flailing around going, what on earth is this? Nobody knew how to fight effectively on the ground.
So, I mean, kind of the Hoist Gracie is the classic example, and I mean, he was wearing a gi and most of the people weren't wearing a gi either, so it's not like he even had the benefit of kind of material people's gis or anything around them. I think something that's come to me in terms of flipping it rather than kind of BJJ affecting your work in the police, has things that you have seen or understood or has occurred to you in your police work transferred over to your BJJ, or have you kind of sometimes come to class and gone, oh, do you mind if we train this situation, or have you guys ever thought about this maybe more when you're practicing more self-defense orientated thing?
No. in a word, no. To be frank, if you just train jiu-jitsu, all the techniques are there. By the time you've got yourself to a high level white belt or blue belt, you have got a wide enough understanding of the basics of standing up and getting down, of the basics of being on top and being underneath, sweeps, submissions. And there's very little within that where you'll need to learn too much more. Obviously, as you develop, you improve each of the techniques, and you identify specialist variations of the techniques. But if you just train jiu-jitsu, everything you need comes to you. There isn't any need for me to go and set up a particular style of jiu-jitsu that might suit what I'm doing at work, because jiu-jitsu will suit what I'm doing. Jiu-jitsu will enable me to stay safe, be able to apply the techniques which I've been taught through the police more effectively than had I not.
Of course. That should be the slogan. Jiu-jitsu is enough.
It is. It's that simple. I know there's, you know, there are a lot of other avenues out there, but it's, you know, if you just keep to doing the simple stuff, the simple jiu-jitsu, everything is there that you need. I mean, again, you know, you look, yeah, to the big names, you know, across jiu-jitsu. You look at, you know, Hodja Gracie again, 10-time world champion. Each of those occasions, he went into it. Every single person who he was going to be up against in each of those years knew exactly what he was going to do: take him to the ground, get him full mount, and do a cross collar choke. You know, and when you can do this to world class level people, with them already knowing exactly what you're going to do, and none of those techniques being particularly fancy, that just shows you how effective jiu-jitsu at its core is.
In terms of you talking about this and spreading the word, if you will, and encouraging, obviously, I guess people who in their own separate teams and forces will, I'm sure anyone who does jiu-jitsu usually can't stop talking about jiu-jitsu. We're a bit like CrossFitters. We're the original CrossFitters, if you will. But, you know, and that they'll encourage in their maybe personal circles. But what are you guys doing anything to spread this around and bring awareness to Team Police BJJ?
Well, yeah, obviously internally we're you know, communicating, you know, via, you know, various email and other, you know, communication devices we've got, but we've now, we've set up our own Team Police BJJ Instagram page, so at Team Police BJJ, which anybody can go and have a look at and see the sort of things we're involved with, and just if people want to get involved with us, that's fantastic. But, you know, it's not just police that we're working with, you know, we actually want to work and build bridges, you know, with the civilian BJJ community and with the community full stop. You know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a fantastic way of getting people, you know, from different avenues together. And we all sort of, you know, once we're all together on the mat, it doesn't matter what your background is, we can all find a common medium and work together. So, for us, the at Team Police BJJ Instagram page is our main way of just, you know, spreading awareness of who we are and where we are. And again, you know, I'll encourage anybody who's a police officer or otherwise just to get in touch and have a look and just to find out what we're up to.
Looking to the future, are there any particular hopes or ambitions, whether that be in the next year or just more kind of broadly speaking, that you guys would like to do or things that you'd like to see happen?
Well, the first thing, I think that's the thing that everybody wants, just to get back on the mat. I mean, yeah, I don't know about you, but, you know, I've spent over a year now having not done any hands-on, you know, rolling or practical BJJ training. You know, I mean, everybody's, I know everybody will have really struggled this last year trying to find some way of keeping interest and, you know, and keeping their skills going. I know, you know, the solo training, you know, it's been quite a good eye opener for me. Because it's really identified that without having another person there to carry my weight, so to speak, you know, when I'm practicing the techniques on my own, if I start wobbling and flailing here and there, it's because I haven't got the technique right. So it's been a very good way of getting the techniques correct just by doing the solo training. But moving forward to the point where we are allowed to start training again, what we're already building and planning for is to do a whole host of seminars across the UK, good competition scene, lots of inter-competition situations with, again, our armed forces and the other emergency services. We've already, as I say, established some good links you know, with REORG. We've got some other people have reached out to us to offer us their support. So Art Garb Artista is doing a lot of work for us for our images. So we should be able to get some kit out there as well, just so people can identify who we are. And, you know, if you want to be part of it, you can hopefully soon we'll have the, you know, the gis, the belts, the rash guards, the T-shirts, the hoodies, etc. It's all in the pipeline. It's coming forward, but it's, you know, it's just make sure we do those little things every day and, you know, just keeping those conversations going with people, just so people are aware that we're there and we're there to help.
And out of interest, I mean, it's one thing that I'll touch on later, but those inter-services competitions are such a fantastic thing. But yeah. The one team I haven't heard of, and I just wonder if they exist, the NHS. Do they have their own team?
Yeah, no, as I say, I mean, you know, when I got Off the position of the overall chair for emergency services within the UK BJA, one of the things I wanted to do was to try and, identify people within, the other services. The fire service are very well represented. They've got a lot of good players there. We've got a lot of good black belt instructors involved. So they're already doing very well. The NHS, though, I mean, I've been struggling to find a coordinated sort of situation, anything like a sports association or, even a well-being association that I can tap into to try and, just register that, that. But I mean, again, I'm aware that there are lots of people out there within the NHS, paramedics, doctors, surgeons, nurses, who do jiu-jitsu, but I'm not sure at the moment exactly how well drawn together it is. So if there are any, people within the NHS, whatever situation you are, who could enlighten me on this and be interested in helping, allowing us to help them bring anything together or to just to train and work with us, it'd be great to hear from them.
We'll have to hunt them down. I'll help. I'll
Absolutely, yeah.
help the hunt to find the hidden black belts in the NHS.
Yeah, see where they are. They're there.
You talked about that first. Was it the first inter-services competition in 2019?
That was the first one I've attended, no, but I mean, they've certainly been doing those before. I mean, I think Seamus from British Army Team, I think whether it's 2018 or 2017, even might have been the first one which they did. So they're relatively new, but they've been getting better year on year. And I say it's just unfortunate that this year's one, the plug has to be pulled on it. So, but I have absolute confidence that everything that they're doing will be back up and running. And again, we will absolutely intend to meet them there, by providing our own inter-service competitions, so that we can all sort of mutually exchange a little bit. I know also that we already had a lot of interest from across the globe, in the USA, in Europe, of other teams which are looking to do similar work with us. So it's going to be quite a global thing by the time we finally get permission to get back on the mats.
It'll be literally everything's ready, just the physical part.
This is it. I mean, this is the silver lining to COVID for us has been it's given us time to get everything together. So we are hopeful, but that by the time we finally get permission from the government that we can start training again, that we will everything will be pretty much good to go. We'll be able to get the seminars running straight away. Get the tournaments planned. Get some travel to so we're doing some intercontinental work, and it's in addition to just working with some civilian partners and doing some charity work. What we're about is just about giving back. All we want to do is to get as many police officers as we can involved in what we're doing, so they can all experience the benefits. Whether it's just a basic, physical and mental health benefits, or if they want to compete. And then at the same time, we want to be sort of, working with, charity projects where, people are, just need that bit of support to help run their sessions. As I say, I think the future post-COVID is looking very bright.
Brilliant. Yeah, interesting on that last point. There's a lot of discussion at the moment, maybe more so overseas than right now, about how the police interact with the community. And actually, this is one of those things where I think sport can be woefully underestimated in terms of how much it, because we see as jiu-jitsu practitioners how much it can bring together a room full of completely random strangers whom you wouldn't put together at all and can bring them together, and it can be such a bonding force and such a way of kind of uniting people.
Yeah, definitely. So I mean, obviously, whether it's just bringing the officers together so they can start benefiting. I mean, I know, again, people outside, my own instructor, Bradley Restema, he's run a lot of seminars and a lot of activity to, help police and as well as to help the general public. But in terms of what we can do as police teams and police representatives using BJJ to work with other communities, I know that I personally have been done a little bit of work with a little Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu team in East London, Submission School, and that has been a very effective way for me to just meet the people from those communities, And it's very enlightening session. It was the first session that combined jiu-jitsu with the call to prayer, and that was a real
Yeah, and these ways of just, I guess, it's learning from both sides, if you will, for yourself
eye-opener.
and for people, just to understanding BJJ, also understanding just kind of using your body more, using physical confrontations and avoiding those confrontations as well, is just a valuable thing for both kind of the public and the police.
Well, there's certainly that element, but the most important thing is getting these different peoples, these different groups, different communities together on the mat and realizing we're all the same. We're all one people. So, some of the people who I meet on the mat to start with, when they find out what I do, they might be, perhaps a little bit reserved, standoffish, but by the end of it, they realize, oh, actually, no, he's a normal person. He's somebody I can talk to, and given my background, he's somebody I can learn from. So it makes a lot of positive impact between the relationships which the police have with people and with communities. So I think there's a lot of good work we can be doing in the future, in getting everybody involved, using the medium of jiu-jitsu.
For me, that really is the kind of the big point there, is the somebody to talk to bit as well. There's we talked to kind of P we had someone on the podcast who at a young age, I mean, he's still a young age now, he's younger than me, but at a young age just kind of went down the wrong hole and became involved with County Lines drug dealing, and then kind of had some experiences and changed his life around now as an amateur boxer. Does a huge amount of charity work in Croydon. But what the key thing, one of the key messages that he talks about is having people to talk to, and having just being able to sit down and kind of chat with people in an environment in which you feel safe. And the BJJ gym can be, when you've had that kind of endorphin rush, and when you're sitting there between rounds chatting with people at the end of class, chatting with people, it's an environment that actually you usually, one of the most safe environments you usually feel in.
Definitely, yeah, and I mean that's it. There are very few Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gyms that you'll go to, and you'll feel at any stage you're under threat. I mean, I've done quite, traveled to quite a few. I know, particularly, when I was, struggling in terms of, time availability, I couldn't always make the training sessions at my own gym, so I had to, I had to go to quite a few different places, and I never encountered anywhere where there was open hostility, whether or not they knew what I did. For the most part, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is about, in every gym you go to, the emphasis on looking after your partner, looking after each other, and helping each other to develop. And people pick up on that energy, that the fact that despite the training you're doing, you are safe. People there are going to look after you. They're going to make every effort to talk to you, to welcome you, to engage with you, and they want to see you come back, because we know how many people walk through the door initially, and how many of them come back. It's a very, it is a sport where the dropout rate is absolutely enormous, isn't it? And I'm sure you've known yourself, whichever gym you train at, you'll see that a lot of people come through initially. I like the idea of, learning jiu-jitsu. Are they still there 6 months later? Not always the case, is
No,
it?
most definitely not. I mean, the blue belt theory is it sits hard as well. No, there's, I don't know what it is. Maybe we need to change the color, but there's something about blue belt that suddenly makes everyone go, all right, I'll see you later.
Well, I think it's the issue. It's people have put in a lot of time and effort to get to that stage, and the blue belt is no mean feat. It's, if you're a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu blue belt, you've got some good skills there. So a lot of people, recognise that, and they also, as they approach the blue belt, they see the people above them within the blue belt category. You often plateau at blue belt. You suddenly, your skills seem to stagnate a little bit, and certainly happened to me. People, perhaps think, oh, I've got my blue belt on, and that's it. I mean, I know the very first blue belt I awarded, I gave that belt, and I never saw that person again. And it's, you do question, why have you committed so much of your time and energy to get to this stage where you're, literally only, stepped on the first couple of rungs of the ladder. There's a lot more climbing to do, and there are a lot of good sights to see at the top there.
Definitely. And you say that, obviously, I mean, as the emergency services chairperson, you've kind of essentially got your hands in a lot of pies. But specifically for Team Belize BJJ, you say that there are a number of you who are around the regions who are coming together. Are there particular people who are kind of, are you all doing the same thing, or kind of, are there particular ambitions in different regions or things like that?
The idea is to give us all as a collective plan, a collective platform to work from. So, so say we've got nearly 40 police forces or police regions represented at the moment. So we've got representatives, leading teams or involved in those teams, for that many different forces, and we're coordinating them all under a central committee, which is made up of, just a few well-placed and suitably experienced officers who combine, the expertise in jiu-jitsu with a thorough understanding and experience of being police. All we're trying to do is to just create a template that everybody can use to make sure that what they're doing is done safely, correctly, and that we can all work together with, so that we know that these the standards we're putting out there, and make sure that everybody is safe. And make sure that we can all, easily, train together and compete against each other. And yeah, as I say, it's all coming together quite nicely to make sure that, nobody feels excluded. No, nobody feels they can't do a certain, style of thing they want to do. And but at the same time, we all understand why we're taking the route that we're taking. There's communication is there, and I think most importantly, there's the, all we're doing is trying to help. There's no money involved. Nobody's getting paid. We're doing it because we're just trying to help each other.
And I guess as someone who's seen BJJ flourish in the past 10 years or so, you could just see how quickly a small, well, small idea or a small group can, change and transform to suddenly being a huge community across the entirety of the UK.
Well, yeah, as I said, I mean, it's something, which I've been pecking away at for, for many years now. I know I first tried to set something up about 15 years ago, and that was shot down immediately simply from lack of understanding. When I first brought it up, it was like, what's BJJ? They thought it was Fight Club, two guys going in the car park and soccer kicking each other in the head. So, fortunately, things have moved forward. Communication, social media has allowed people to have a better understanding of it. And again, down to the UK BJJ, we now have probably the safest and best standards, around to make sure that what we're doing is compliant and works well with the ideas of policing. Obviously, it will be very tricky to for our sports associations to authorise something where people are going training and are off sick for 3 6 months. Whereas what we do and the way we do it, because it's well organised, everybody's insured and covered correctly, we make sure that everybody's able to train and go straight back to work.
And I guess from a fitness perspective as well, just encouraging members of the force to just kind of stay active outside of work, and have some that have something that they both enjoy and helps keep them fit.
This is it, yeah. The most obvious, the visceral example is you look at people, training together in a gym, and there they are, doing well. Some of them are doing their warm ups, you look through a window, and there's all these people doing the star jumps, doing the movements on the floor, then doing the drilling, sparring at the end, and people are getting fit. There are so many success stories out there of people who've just started training, and perhaps been quite overweight and have lost it all, or maybe they're recovering from an injury and have actually used Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu to help them do it. And again, age, size, fitness, condition are no barriers. I mean, personally, I know when I first started teaching, it's been nearly 15 years ago now, one of the guys who walked through the door was 74 years old. And he stayed with me for as long as that school remained open. And he was training with, all the other 20-year-olds. Because the nature of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu allows us to make sure that everybody, whatever your background, whatever your condition, can train. And again, in addition to that, not just age. I'm a good example myself of, how you can continue training despite being, having quite significant injuries. I've had quite a few very serious surgeries. 2017, I had, my lower back spinal fusion, and I've managed to, do all the correct recuperation and come back from that and still be able to compete at, national and international level. So it's a, it's a very friendly and, it's a sport where there are no real barriers to your participation. You can adapt your jiu-jitsu to suit your particular circumstances.
I think that's it. Is like if we kind of take the other combat sports, boxing, Muay Thai, judo, wrestling, whatever combat sport you so choose, there is something so malleable about jiu-jitsu that just is it just means that there, regardless of your situation, your height, your width, your arm length, it really is just kind of malleable to everyone.
Very much so. Yeah, that is the thing, isn't it? It's the concept is there, but and it doesn't matter, what you're given in terms of what you were born with. You can use that to make your situation work. And even if you lose, the ability to, move in a certain way or do things in a certain way, you will find ways to adapt. As I say, prior to, my spinal fusion, I was very much a very aggressive, dominant, strength-based player. And as I say, after having a fusion, I had to change entirely. And now a lot of what I do is all stretching-based, yoga, Pilates, and absolute focus on the technique as opposed to, just trying to grind things out through sheer aggression. So, whatever happens to you, you will be able to find a way to adapt. And generally, by adapting, you're using your brain more and therefore using jiu-jitsu more.
Definitely. Spinal fusion surgery just it brings shivers down my spine, if you will. It's just like having that coming back from that from jiu-jitsu must have been a major experience.
It was massive. I mean, basically, prior to doing jiu-jitsu, I used to play rugby at quite a high level. When I was 18, I didn't know it, but I broke my back in a scrum. I sort of,
And you didn't know it?
I knew I'd done something. It hurt a lot. It continues to hurt for a lot for a long time. But I was, of the mindset, well, just get on with it. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. And it managed to reset itself in whatever way it did. When it finally got to the stage of, because I decided to take up strongman when I was about 34, 35, in addition to it, and all the big arching events, so the log lifts and the stone lifts, etc. That finally, that was literally the straw that broke the camel's back, me being the camel. The pain there was such that I had to get it seen to, had the MRI scan, and you could see that, all the bones were interesting shapes. I had no choice but to have the surgery, which was it was terrifying. I was aware that obviously that there were risks if it went wrong, but we got through it. Recovery wasn't pleasant, but we got through it, and now, I'm in a position where there are certain things which I can't do quite as well as I used to now, and I've had to change my game, and I'd say change my game for the better in that my understanding of jiu-jitsu is now actually better as a result of this.
Yeah, usually limitations. It's such a weird thing that limitations can actually be a benefit to people. You talk about where, I've had injuries where sometimes even something like a concussion, where it's like, right, I'm not sparring, but suddenly it's just right. Well, I'm gonna. It makes you focus, I think, more when you're drilling techniques and things like that. You treat it almost with the same eagerness and the same almost aggressiveness as you do sparring. You make sure you're kind of aggressive in your learning. You're like, right, I'm going to make sure that I get the most out of this because this is the only thing I can do.
Well, that's it. Yeah. When you've only got a certain section of the training opportunities available to you, because of your circumstances, because of your injury and your recovery, you make sure that that one thing you can do, you get every little point, right, and you become aware of those little points, things that you would have totally overlooked before. You realize about your overall body placement, your balance, how you're applying pressure through somebody, how important it is to move, as fluidly with somebody as you can. You think of the, move like water expression. You are literally, it's if you can learn to move like that around somebody else, your jiu-jitsu game is going to, just shoot straight up, as opposed to just being a big strong lump is trying to just, crush somebody, or the super fast person is just moving around somebody without consideration to how their physical mass and pressure is working on that partner. It's just those little details.
I do. I am slightly kind of impressed by just how long your back held up, though. Given the fact that you did rugby and then moved on to strongman whilst doing BJJ, that's an impressive set of sports to hold up for that amount of time.
My physio, did say that was probably more down to luck than anything else. But as I say, it was just one of those things where, if you've got I played in the front row in rugby, so the classical mentality is, you just, you growl it away and you get on with it. And as I say, I continued to play with that, with the situation, but it managed not to get any worse, and it managed to sort of, build up some sort of sense of security around the damaged area. But yes, I wouldn't recommend it. I would certainly recommend, if you're aware you've done something wrong, perhaps go to hospital straight away, rather than wait the best part of 20 years.
The classic phrase of do as I say, don't do as I
Yeah, well,
do.
learn from my experiences. Yeah, learn from my mistakes. That's it.
Moving on to kind of hit the hour mark already, but moving on to the kind of towards the end of the interview, we do one last thing, which is a quick fire round, if you will. Bit more lighthearted, but just some interesting questions that usually elicit some quite interesting answers as well. If you're happy to do
Okay, let's give it a go.
that. So cauliflower ears, are they rugby or BJJ caused?
Mine are Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Have you ever demonstrated a move at work, or kind of just been going, oh, go on, let me show you this, or really wanted to drill at work?
Yes, more regularly
Yeah.
than
Your favorite submission?
I. It's a tricky one. Probably the inverted elbow crush. So yeah, inverted armbar.
I wasn't expecting that, I have to admit, but
What were you thinking?
I
What do you
was
think I was
waiting for
going to
like
get?
a really kind of maybe like a cross collar choke. I think I was had a cross collar choke in my head just because I thought kind of talking of Hodger Gracie maybe, and now it's stuck in
Hodger is the only one who can do that to
my
that
head.
level. I love trying to emulate it, but it's it doesn't come for me naturally. Whereas isolating an arm, I work fairly well with that.
Lovely. Takedowns or pulling guard?
That's not even a question. Take that.
Early or night shift?
Ooh, night shift. I'm terrible with the earlies. Absolutely. I hate early shifts. I've always worked night shift. Prior to being a police officer, I worked on the doors for 7 years. I've always been quite comfortable working in the night.
Well, this leads on quite nicely to the next one. Caffeine of choice.
Oh yes, Caffeine Nero. It's got to be strong.
Recommended thing to learn during lockdown? Anything that you kind of book, film, hobby that you'd suggest to people to give a try?
Languages. I use a Duolingo quite a lot. So I've been picking up Spanish and Russian at the same time, which don't really intermingle very well, but it's something where you just do it. You just every day keep chipping away at it, and it's you realize that it does work, and I've had the opportunity to use them both fairly regularly. So yeah.
A bit like BJJ, you just have to keep going at it.
Yeah, just keep working at it. Just do if you can manage to do if you do half an hour one day and you do 2 minutes the other, then As long as you do a little bit every day, I think that's a good life motto, isn't it?
Yeah. Acai, yay or nay?
For me, it's a nay, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
It's never really took to it. It looks lovely, but the taste, okay.
Ghee or no ghee?
I'm a ghee man now. I started out, my background would perhaps be more no ghee orientated, but as I say, I only really got into Brazilian jiu-jitsu a little bit by accident. I started training in the 90s with a friend of mine, and our opportunities were quite limited, and it would often be just in a normal gym. We'd either be on a concrete floor or on a sprung wooden floor doing old Jeff Thompson style stuff, which was fairly old school. But I was fortunate that my friend, my instructor, Lee Catling, he went to see this Brazilian chap who arrived in London, some guy called Mauricio. Just some guy called Mauricio. So he started to, seeing Mr. Gomez, and brought it back to what we were doing, and that developed into the club which we have now, Gracie Barra South End, which we are very much gi focused, but we we do the no gi and obviously other martial arts, Thai boxing, etc. For me, in answer to a question, gi.
Just this little guy called Mauricio.
Little guy.
On a side note, I was at a competition once, and my partner was competing, and pulled off this amazing armbar, and it was a Klios BJJ, and Mauricio had sat and watched her match, and then gave her a clap at the end, and she had no idea. I said, "Do you realise what just happened?" She was like, "No." I was like, "Do you know who that is?" "No, no idea." I was like, "Oh." But you don't realise he walked up.
So if Mauricio's given you a clap, said he's done a good job, I think you can take that on board. That's probably as valuable, if not more valuable, than a medal.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't know if the next question is applicable, because I don't know how the inter-services competitions works, but is there a kind of service winner at the end of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's it's an accumulation of the winners of the various weights and categories. At the moment, the armed services are absolutely leagues ahead of us, competitions wise. But we're hoping over the next few years to bring ourselves back on a more level playing field.
I was going to say, will Police BJJ bring home the gold?
Oh yes, we're going to get a bit of gold on the mantelpiece, I think.
Definitely. I think you'll be arguing over which mantelpiece it goes on.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Final one, which is usually quite good, is if someone to play you in a movie, who would it be? And if so, what kind of movie would it be as well? What category would it be?
Oh, my good Lord. Oh, dear. I guess that's put me on the spot, isn't it? In terms of somebody playing me, I think Wayne Rooney is my lookalike. So I've often been, when I've been on the train, people have been started singing Wayne Rooney at me. But in terms of what genre film, I'm not so sure. I can't really put it on that one. No, I'll have to pass on that. Sorry.
I like Wayne Rooney though. I think that's one of the best ones we've had.
Mm.
I just like to see Wayne Rooney act as well. That'd be a good.
That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's it.
That'd be amusing to watch. I don't mind what category movie is. Let's just watch Wayne Rooney act.
Penny Jones has done it. There's no reason Wayne can't, is there?
I don't know. I've seen David Beckham act, and it wasn't great.
Doesn't come naturally to everyone, does it? No, bless him.
No. Thank you for coming on. We're gonna put all the links to Team Police BJJ on there, on our site, and on the link to this podcast. But is there anywhere else? Obviously, you've got the Instagram account at Team Police BJJ. Is there anywhere else you want to direct people to?
That's the best one for everyone. So if you've got access to Instagram, that's the main one for the time being. Other than that, as I say, you can reach me directly, Tom Wilson, and I look forward to hearing from anybody from any one of the emergency services who wants to get involved, or anybody's just interested in finding out what we're doing. And just finally, a big thank you to you, Hassan, for, you know, taking the time to get reaching out to us and inviting us onto the show.
No, and we'd love to do more. And I mean, hopefully we can start interviewing some Team Police BJJ champions as well.
That'll be that's what we're aiming for. Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.